Hello and welcome to this very special edition of The Rest is History. It is the results moment. It is the final. It's the moment everybody has been talking about and waiting for. Obviously, Tom Holland, elections much in the news at the moment. Some very implausible contenders, it has to be said. But enough of the Conservative leadership contest. We're talking about The Rest is History's Love Island, Dominic Sandbrook's Pleasure Island, as some like to call it. And Tom, this was your idea. Are you happy that it has gone according to plan?
I think it's been a great success. And I think it's distracted the attention of the public from all the carnage and horror that's going on in the world. But as you say, enough of the Tory leadership contest. Let's get on to the real contest. So, Dominic, what did you make of it? Because you were much more sceptical than me.
I was sceptical. I'll be honest with you, Tom. I've never seen Love Island. We discussed this in Monday's podcast when your daughter Katie very kindly came on to explain the rules.
Yes, who can't be with us because she's actually on holiday.
She's on a Love Island of her own, Tom.
That's very, very Love Island. Yeah, she is. So, so sorry about that, but we will try and hold the fort for her.
So, thinking back to the early rounds, I think a couple of big disappointments for me. I was sorry to see Virginia Woolf not have a greater impact on the competition. Mm-hmm. As one of our listeners pointed out, she was famously likened to a horse looking in at a window. Yes. So maybe she wasn't really cut out for the for Casa Amor from the start.
There was a very sweet comment from Lucy on Twitter talking about Katie, that she loved Katie musing that Virginia Woolf probably wouldn't be a strong contender for breaking up the beautiful relationship between Lady Falkander and Judas Iscariot.
Yeah, well, this brings me to the other big issue. So there's a lot of chat on Twitter about Judas and the fact that Judas bowed out quite early, really, by his standards, because normally he goes right to the bitter end, doesn't he?
No, he bowed out early in the
Bible.
Yeah. I mean, he's the first disciple to go, to be honest. So I think he's actually continuing the trend there.
He walks rather than is evicted. I mean, he's not evicted by a public vote. Anyway, yes, as I said last time, I was very keen to see how Judas would get on because we knew what he would do for 30 pieces of silver, but we didn't know what he'd do for 50 grand. But the world would never have got to find out because he and Lady Falkander, Marcia Williams, they bowed out. She's obviously written some very bitter things in the newspapers on her lavender or indeed lilac notepaper. Judas has kept his own counsel. Tom, I mean, who did you really want? You wanted Lord Byron to win, didn't you?
I did want Lord Byron to win. Yes, I did. But do you know, Dominic, I've actually found myself after listening to that episode with a very, very soft spot, less for Stanley Baldwin than for his wife, Lucy.
Right. Because of the cricket.
Because of the cricket, but also apparently I learned from Alexander Glasgow Anti-General Woundwort WC, again on Twitter.
Good name.
That she championed midwifery for those from areas of high indices of socio-economical deprivation. And she has a maternity hospital named after her in Stourport.
Well, that's the Baldwin. I didn't know that, but that's doesn't surprise me. That's the Baldwins for you, Tom.
So, I like a woman who's into midwifery and cricket. So.
You do? You do? You'd be great friends with the Baldwins if they were alive now, wouldn't you? You'd be as couples, yes. You'd be great pals with the Baldwins.
And so I worry about what the impact of Stanley going to Dominic Sandbrook's Pleasure Island may have on Lucy.
Well, that's true. There's a lovely clip for those people who are interested on YouTube of Stanley and Lucy Baldwin visiting a home for retired actors. And you can sort of hear the sound of them being introduced to all these actors. And they're just, hello, ha, ha, ha. They're just constant. They're so jolly. They are so jolly that it's impossible not to take to them. They'd be tremendous company.
So Lucy's jolly too. So how do you think she would get on with Theodora?
I think she's Mrs. Baldwin. I think that's hard to say because Theodora's not massively into cricket or midwifery.
Not really,
or sort of talking about 1920s conservative politics. So I think that's difficult. I think the Baldwins were quite live and let live. I mean, as we said last time, their son Oliver was not only a Labour MP, but was gay. So by the standards of sort of Stanley Baldwin's set, Oliver was leading quite an unconventional life, but they were pretty supportive of him. So I think Theodora, okay, she's had a checkered history. I think Lucy would... she understands the nature of Love Island. She's a woman of the world, so she knows that Stanley has to get involved with Theodora. But I mean, Tom, I can't believe the podcast has degenerated to me speculating about Lucy Baldwin's reaction.
I know. When you did your doctorate, did you ever imagine that this is where a career in history would lead you?
I could only dream. And so there were a couple of people I noticed, because I did glance at the reaction, although I'm on holiday, but I glanced at the reaction. Clearly lots of people liked the episode, but there a couple of people who were kind of, what is this babble? And
puerile tosh, I believe, was the phrase that was
puerile. Well, it's better than woke tosh, because we've had woke tosh in the past, haven't we? So I think we tosh is kind of our thing. yes. But we're branching out as we've done more than 200 episodes, we're trying out different kinds of tosh, I think, is probably the best way of.
Okay, well, as you said, you're on holiday, so you don't know who has won.
Do you know, I woke up this morning and my son said to me, "What happened with the vote?" We've been swimming in the Baltic, Tom, would you believe? We went swimming in the Baltic this morning.
Is the Baltic not very cold, Dominic?
Incredibly cold. It was it was a very, very manly thing to do. And as we came back, he said, "Oh, we forgot to check out the vote." And I said, "Do you mean?" And I thought for a moment, because we've been talking about the conservative leadership thing last night, I thought he might mean that, but obviously he didn't. He wanted to know. He said, "Did Stanley Baldwin win?"
Well, let's find out. So this is for Arthur and for everyone who hasn't heard the results. So there were four couples: Lord Byron and Sporus, Stanley Baldwin and Theodora, General Custer and Lola Montez, and President Jimmy Carter and Olympias, the mother of Alexander the Great.
That's an unusual couple, isn't it? Carter and Olympias.
Very unusual. I mean, I didn't really see that working. And that, I think, is why they came in fourth.
Oh, did they?
With 14.3% of the vote.
Still 14%. I mean, that's almost as much as Jimmy won in the 1980 presidential election against Ronald Reagan.
I thought that Jimmy came out of it very well. There's been a lot of interest in the killer rabbit.
Yeah, you could look. That's a swamp rabbit.
Swamp rabbit.
He claimed it was a swamp rabbit, and he claimed he fended it off with his paddle.
So a lot of interest in that. I think Olympias, not a popular contender, really.
Fiery.
I think the snakes, the murder.
Yeah.
I kind of, what future as an influencer awaits her, I don't know. But I think for Jimmy, I think there's potential there.
You think there's a Rest of History episode in it for him, maybe?
I think there may be. I think
further
there may
down
be.
The line, yeah.
Then, huge disappointment to me, coming in third with 16.4% of the vote, Lord Byron and Sporus.
They're a very glamorous couple. So what held them back?
Not sure. Byron was the first to be mentioned, so perhaps people just forgot about him.
No one forgets about Lord Byron.
So Sporus is the only one on that who was not one of the original 10. So perhaps we didn't give him or her. I don't actually know what pronouns you should use for Sporus.
Do you think that's an issue? Do you think the gender critical community have Kathleen Stock has been whipping people up not to vote for Sporus? Is that what you think?
I don't know. I think he's a more ambivalent figure, isn't he? Because he didn't have a choice.
I think Lord Byron, I think there's a bit of, he's not very progressive, is he, Lord Byron? Let's be honest.
In some ways he is.
He's quite cancel-worthy.
He did die for freedom.
I suppose so.
But in other ways, perhaps not. The whole falling on chambermaids like a thunderbolt. The incest thing. I mean, I think quite a lot of the things that made Byron an incendiary and controversial figure in the Regency period have now come back into focus.
Yeah, in a different way. I thought Byron and Sporus would probably win, to be brutally honest. I thought you would be inciting people on Twitter to vote for them, but you were quite restrained, I think.
Partly it's because I found myself with an unexpected soft spot for Stanley Baldwin, but also it's because I was busy finishing a chapter yesterday, so I didn't really have time.
You're still deep into Parthia?
I've got a paragraph to go.
Oh, so exciting. It's even more exciting than Love Island. Can you finish your Parthian chapter by the end of the day?
I will. Trajan is going to reach the Persian Gulf, and he will see a ship leaving for India, and that will be the end of the chapter. Ooh. Anyway, but we're not talking about that. So coming in second, General Custer and Lola Montez, 22.3%. I thought they were a glamorous couple as well.
Yeah. That's a good result for Custer, who I think, Tom, you massively overpraised. I mean, you described him at the beginning as a great general, when he's famously one of the worst generals in human history.
Yeah, I mean, his career didn't have the ideal conclusion. I think that would be.
Well, he did die laughing, to be fair. I mean, it's good to die with a smile on your lips.
Yeah, and from the point of view of Love Island, that's what matters. A smile on your lips.
Yeah.
Toss of your ringlets.
Banter in your heart.
Banter in your heart. And I think that Lola would provide him with great synergy.
Yeah.
I think people responded to that. But a thumping majority, 47%, so almost half the vote, Stanley Baldwin and Theodora. And Dominic, a comment from Mitchell Dryden, who says, I think it's my favorite podcast ever.
Wow.
I laughed so hard at the image of Stanley Baldwin and Theodora. It was as if you were reading the intimate and private thought journal of you, Dominic.
Oh, that's
nice. There you go.
Yeah, that's my dream. Stanley Baldwin and Theodora at the Molyneux watching Wolves win, you know, qualify for the Champions League final.
So you've always been a big fan of Theodora, haven't you?
Well, I did. I think, Tom, we should do her more justice. So I think in a few weeks, we should do an episode about Justinian and Theodora because it's such a fascinating, they're one of the great power couples. Many years ago, I did a undergraduate course called the Near East in the Age of Justinian and Muhammad, which would appeal to you. And of course, the reign of Justinian is this great sort of hinge moment, isn't it? It's the kind of beginning of late antiquity, I suppose, or it's the sort of the early stages of late antiquity. It's one of those points that people sometimes say is when the Roman Empire becomes the Byzantine world.
He's the last Latin-speaking emperor.
Right, exactly. And he tries his reconquest of Italy and so on and North Africa. And Theodora is this fantastic character. I mean, because of Procopius' secret history that we talked about last time, we know a fair bit about her. But what we know is so clearly kind of tabloid gossip, incredibly salacious gossip.
Well, except there's also hagiography.
As you pointed out, she became a saint.
Never really gets emphasized. But you were right. We must do a special on her. So let's do that. Well, let's do that when you get back from your holiday.
Definitely. Definitely. Because we're overdue. We've done the American Civil War. We've done quite a lot of modern stuff. We're overdue a bit of 6th century.
Well, we haven't really done Byzantium. We haven't done an episode exclusively on Byzantium, have we?
No. And we get to talk about the Hagia Sophia, Tom.
Yeah.
And you can talk about... and at the end, I mean, the great question with Justinian and Theodora, I mean, I don't want to get into doing the podcast right now, but the great question is whether their reign lays the foundations for the rise of Islam later on and the collapse of a lot of the Eastern Roman world because of overextension. And listeners will be able to find out our views on that in a few weeks.
I think there's something else that happens in Justinian's reign that may be more of a contributory factor, but we will discuss that when we come to record it. Brilliant. Okay. Well, Dominic, I mustn't keep you from your holiday.
No, Tom, you absolutely mustn't.
And I have to go and get Trajan to the Persian Gulf. So we will end it there.
What a triumph for Stanley Baldwin, though, Tom. I think it's fair.
Yes, a huge triumph. You must be, I'm sure it'll set you up for your holiday perfectly.
I've got a spring in my step now.
Many thanks to those of you who enjoyed it. Huge apologies to those of you who didn't.
That is the most insincere apology I think I've ever heard. Because, Tom, you loved every minute of that. You're not sorry at all.
No, I'm not sorry at all. And I'd do it again, but probably not for a while. Well, maybe next year.
I think it should be a regular feature. Back on.
Yes, I think it should. All right. Okay. Thanks ever so much for listening, everyone. And we will, we're back on, we're back tomorrow on Thursday with the most, someone that you absolutely cannot imagine being on Love Island, George Orwell. So we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.